with the first pick.
The Chicago Bears select.
The Bears Nation Podcast, powered by ONTAP Sports Network.
Let's begin now.
Bears head coach Matt Eberflus.
We really feel that the acquisitions that we've had so far have been outstanding. We added all the skill to the offense. Running back with Swift, on the outside with Keenan, and you know, Everett at tight end, paired with DJ and Cole, are going to be tough to cover.
New Bears wide receiver Keenan Allen.
Definitely excited about the new opportunity, being with a new organization. Anytime you got two guys that can make plays and beat man coverage, it's going to be tough.
It's the Bears Nation Podcast with Kevin Lapka and Jake Hassan.
Both men of Chicago.
It's Bears Nation, baby.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Let's go.
Welcome in. It is Bears Nation Podcast. It is Monday, April 22nd, and we are, I guess if you count today, 4 days. Well, I guess you count Thursday, too. 4 days away from the Chicago Bears officially making their next step in franchise history official. 4 days from now, Caleb Williams, likely, or at least a quarterback, let's put it that way, will be drafted by the Chicago Bears number one overall to hopefully bring them back to competitiveness, contention, relevance. And then about, 3 hours after that, because the first round of the NFL is a complete theater production, the Bears will pick number nine overall. And that is much more murky. But Kevin, are we just we'll just assume that Caleb Williams is going to be number one overall?
Yeah, we know this. We've been knowing this.
So that's not a fun conversation. Everybody will tell you that the betting markets, every talking head, every writer, every person that you talk to on the street is going to tell you that the Bears are taking Caleb Williams number one overall.
Even me,
even Kevin Lapka, so because far. He mostly has no other choice anymore.
Yes.
I'm very proud of you. Anyway.
Yeah. Wait, can I being, say something about that real quick?
Because I feel like I have this about to be.
No, it's not about to be anything. It's just like if you listen to this show, we have regular listeners. We have people that listen to the show. And like they know me as, what did I do this offseason? Like I can't hide from my past, right? I had
very
made,
brave of you.
It is. It really is. I advocated for them. I wouldn't say advocated. I looked at the perspective in which, I don't know. I was looking at different perspectives. I thought that there was a path where they could have retained Justin Fields, traded down, drafted Marvin Harrison Jr., and had success next year and years beyond. I'm not going to deny that that was the case. Now, I wouldn't say I was never like a part of this civil war. I was never bashing Caleb. I've never bashed Caleb Williams.
No.
I've never have done that. And all
but
I have to say, like, again,
you were banging the drum pretty hard for the Justin Fields camp.
I don't know if I was banging the drum hard, but I was making the case because I just look, and this is what it all ties into. All right, and the reason why I don't regret any of that, and why the Bears shouldn't regret having taken so long to trade Justin Fields is, look, this is a process that the Bears have continually gotten wrong over and over and over again.
And really, it wasn't even that long because we didn't think this would be over until like now. Like we didn't think we'd get a resolution to this. Like we thought Justin Fields might still be on the team as of this week.
Yeah, that was in the cards. So some talked about a draft day trade or, people thought that it could have gone on until Thursday. But just like when you look back at it as this, 3 month era of, Bears offseason, which has just been it'll be a memorable era. It just really will.
Yeah.
When you look back at it, look, I am confident in what the Bears have done because I look at it and I see thorough diligence in the way that they've handled this entire process and the way that Caleb Williams himself has handled it, right? I mean, we were all a little bit skeptical about Caleb Williams, whether you really liked him or not, because you had heard all these things about his character. You heard all these things that his dad said, and you just didn't know. And he wasn't in front of a microphone too often. You knew the quote-unquote negatives from people about the crying and the pain in the nails and all this, and just the way he has handled himself through this adversity and just sort of embracing the moment, like he's won me over as a person and as a guy who I have confidence in coming into this building day one and being able to handle what is asked of him, what's required of him, what this city is going to bring to him. Because that was my biggest concern was we know what this city and this franchise and the expectations can do to a quarterback, and the expectations have never been higher. It appears it's still on the table that he could fail, right?
Sure.
Like it's on the table. We have to, put that there. But it appears to me that he is a guy that will be able to handle this. He'll lean into it. He's going to be confident throughout it, and he's going to do the right things off the field, but boy, is he going to rip your heart out on the field. So I just, when I look back at everything, the way this has played out, Caleb Williams has 100% won me over. I have, you know, you got to have confidence in him. He's going to be your quarterback. Right. And I appreciate and I'm proud as a Bears fan of the way that Ryan Poles handled this entire, you know, offseason and the quarterback situation.
Yeah. And to your point of, you know, this is going to be a point that we remember, that we talk about for a long time. Yeah. Because however it goes, people are either going to look at this and say, oh, well, the Bears nailed it and they did the right thing and they traded Justin Fields and they drafted number one, they drafted Caleb Williams, or in a uncomfortably more likely scenario, because it is the Bears, they screw it up and we look back on this and say, yep, look at how they botched it, whether that be drafting the wrong guy, right, whether that be trading Justin Fields when they shouldn't have. You know, so either way, like, this is a what's the word I'm looking for? Like, this is a reference point,
mm-hmm,
you know, for a long time, a very long time. So we'll see what happens. But I agree. I have faith in Caleb Williams. I think he can be very good in this league. I think he can reshape your franchise and make you relevant again. I'm not saying he's going to be Patrick Mahomes. I'm not saying he's guaranteed to win a Super Bowl.
Right.
But he can bring you back to relevance, I think, at the very least. So that's my expectation. At least, is just make the Chicago Bears relevant again. Make them a team that you expect to see in the playoffs. Sure.
This offseason, they've been relevant.
Sure.
Turn on First Take every morning.
But anyway, and I think getting lost in the shuffle a lot is the opportunity you have with the number 9 overall pick. Mm-hmm. And that's what we'll talk about a lot and over the next 30 minutes or so is, what do you do? Because you do have a lot of options here, especially if things get weird where you see, you know, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May go 1, 2, 3, and then somebody jumps up for J.J. McCarthy at 5 or 4, mm-hmm, which is apparently very much on the table, what, rightly or wrongly. But point being, things could get weird. I've seen some people say that the Giants might take J.J. So, point being, things can get weird because there's also a scenario where the three receivers are all gone,
yes,
by 9 as well, where Marvin Harrison Jr. goes number 4, Malik Nabers goes number 6 to the Giants, and Robert Nudze goes 7 to the Titans. That's all on the table,
mm-hmm,
which then would probably lead you to taking a defender unless Joe Alt somehow falls past the Falcons, which I don't think is very likely. So there's a couple different ways this is going to go. Kevin, what is your, you know, 4 days away, what is your initial thought on who's going to be available at number 9 and what the Bears do with that pick?
Yeah, I've been set on this for a couple weeks now. I think they're trading down. I really do think they're trading down. And we're going to reveal our mocks here in a little bit. And that's included in my mock is a trade down. Look, I got to be honest. For some reason, you know, this Bears fan base has fallen in love with Romo Dunze. Mm-hmm. And I get it. He's a talented player. You watch the highlights. He's got all the traits.
And this happened like 2 months ago. This has been going on.
And it's marinated for months, yes, where it's like, you might have to trade up for Romo Dunze. You leave this draft with Romo Dunze. It's like, you know, everyone's going to reference the draft day movie with the little post-it note. Everyone's
Never
got
saw,
Romo
so.
Dunze on their post-it note, right? But I personally like Romo Dunze. But if you can trade down to, let's say, you know, and the reason why it's intriguing is because you have three quarterback needy teams in a row, 11, 12, 13. So if you can trade down with one of those teams, you're not going to trade with Minnesota. I don't think you're going to do that just because they're an in-division rival. You, mm-hmm, typically don't want to trade with your in-division rival to get their franchise quarterback. But you look at Denver and Las Vegas and maybe New Orleans if, sure, they are seeking the end of the Derek Carr tenure. You're looking at two teams there at 12 and 13 where you're only going down three spots. You can definitely accumulate hopefully a second rounder this year and at least a second rounder next year. But you're looking at two teams that are going to have to outbid each other to get quote-unquote their guy at 9 if the Bears are trading down. So I am of the belief that this whole J.J. McCarthy thing is fake and it's smoke and I don't believe it. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to be available. So you look at Denver or Las Vegas to trade up, and I think if the Bears have an offer on the table of, you know, I'll just say the one I have in my mock draft with Vegas, who has the 44th overall pick, and then a future 2025 second rounder, you have to take that because people don't understand when it comes to wide receivers. In my personal opinion, the gap between Romo Odunze and Brian Thomas Jr. isn't that large, in my honest opinion. And I think when you're looking at, for this year, a receiver that fits this team better, you're talking about guys like Brian Thomas Jr. who are faster, who are deep vertical threats, who can expand this offense. You're talking about guys like Xavier Worthy in the back end of the first round, early parts of the second round. So I think a trade down is 100% what they're going to do here. We've seen this from Ryan Poles in the past. Of course, he traded from the first overall pick last year, but later in the draft, in his two first drafts, he has traded down in the fourth and fifth round and accumulate capital. And I think he probably looks at the current situation when it comes to the draft capital, and he's like, four picks? That's not enough. So I see a trade down. That is my initial lean, and I'm actually pretty confident, unless like something crazy has to happen where someone not named Romo Odunze, like if Neighbors is there, you take Neighbors. Sure. I don't think he's going to be there, but I have Neighbors graded higher than Odunze. If something weird happens with Marvin Harrison,
seems,
you know,
like, and I think this is part of it too, is that their evaluations seemingly for the wide receivers have gotten wacky. Like, there's people saying that Neighbors could go four now instead of Harrison. Right. There's people saying that Neighbors could fall to the Bears at nine. There's people saying that Harrison could fall. It seems like things are getting weird here. But to your point, I think this is how I see this going.
Okay.
I think that if a receiver is there, one of the three, most likely Romo Odunze, I think if they're there at nine, the Bears take them.
You think so?
Because DJ Moore has two more years left on his contract, sure. And he's 27, so you probably re-up him. Keenan Allen is about 63 and is most likely on his way. He was productive last year. Don't get me wrong. Yeah, I know. He had a ton of catches. He had 1,000 yards. Great. But he is, A, injury prone, known for, this is factual, he misses time. And B, he's an older player in the league. You don't know how long you're going to have him. You might have him 2 years. You might have him 1 year. Yeah. You might have him longer. Nobody knows. That's the problem. So you don't have the next guy. Remember how awesome it was when you had Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey and you had that next guy lined up? Remember how? Now think about how crappy things were before DJ Moore, because you didn't have anybody. You didn't know what you were doing. So you need that heir apparent. I know that if you draft a rookie receiver at number nine, I agree, there's options, especially later in the draft. So that's why, but I think that the Bears love these top three and that these three are seen as such giant playmakers, game wreckers in different ways.
Yeah.
But ways that they can impact, and especially if you have one of those guys as your number three this year, and then we'll see what happens next year and the years following. But I think that if one of the three, one of the big three, let's say, are there at nine, I think the Bears stay and I think they take them. And the much more likely scenario that one, that none of them are there, then I think that you probably do trade down, because then I think the Bears turn their attention to Jared Verse, Dallas Turner,
yes,
you know, pick your favorite. And then I think your scenario is on the board where you trade to 11, 12, or 13, and one of those guys jumps for McCarthy or whoever. Could be Knicks, could be Penix, who knows, whatever. A quarterback, let's say. Or maybe Joel, who cares? Any point. Point being that I think that if the receivers are gone, I'm taking Brock Bowers out of this equation because I don't think the Bears would draft
him. I would agree.
But I think that if you are stuck, quote unquote, stuck having to take a defender at nine, I think then they trade down a couple spots. That's where I'm at.
No, I agree with you, because I don't have a grade on Dallas Turner that would warrant him being, I say this as if I like grade all the players.
Sure.
Like,
your point being the first defender off the board.
Yeah. Which is crazy that's going to probably be the first defender off the board at nine, but that's what it's going to be. But the gap between Verse or Turner and at this point, like when these things happen, like you just don't know, like, where teams are going to go. A guy could fall to you, and that's why, like, none of this really matters until draft night, because the Bears don't have a plan. Their plan is dictated on what happens in front of them. So if, like you just detailed, if things shake out their way, you know, maybe they do go Odunze or Neighbors at nine, but if all those guys are gone, just let the draft come to you, man. Let the draft come to you. You might get really, really lucky with a trade down and still getting a player you could have gotten at nine because of the volume of quarterbacks in this draft. That's why I think this is so interesting, is when you talk about these trade up potentials, you're talking about guys not trading up for a player that you would want to take. You're talking about, like, because that's what people were upset about last year. Well, you let the Eagles trade up ahead of you and they took the guy that you potentially wanted to take in Jalen Carter. And obviously the Bears clearly didn't want to take him. I assume they knew Philly was going to take him.
And Darnell Wright turned out okay.
And I could end up being the better. I think probably will end up being the better player. That's a different conversation for
I mean, Phil's an incredible need.
Right. Yeah. But that's why I'm so heavy on the trade down is, you know, the over-under for quarterbacks taking the first round is set at 4.5. If you're a betting person, I'm hammering the over. I mean, we could see a weird situation where teams get scared and nervous of Penix or Knicks, but I could also see teams really falling in love with a guy like Penix and a team like, the Raiders or Saints taking a shot at him. So if you're talking about five quarterbacks, right, if you just do the math, say the Bears traded on a third team because one of those teams is trading up. Say J.J. McCarthy went up at 4 through a Vikings trade or whatever, you know, it may be. You're talking about five quarterbacks before you've even picked. And then take out, you know, the three receivers. And then you're talking about five overall great players left that would have to be taken between your pick, which would leave somebody good. Like, if you do the math, it's going to leave somebody really good for you at 13 that shouldn't be there at 13. So that's just the way I look at it. I think it's the most likely scenario. We've heard smoke about it, too, about the Bears' interest in that. And let's just throw this out there. We got to talk about it. I mean, we're hearing, whether you believe it's reputable or not, the rare scenario that Marvin Harrison Jr. falls enough for the Bears to make a move. I got to be honest, this is all bullshit. It's not going to happen. Guys, if Marvin Harrison Jr. competed in the combine, he might even go number 3 overall. Like, people are just worried because he didn't participate. He would have ran an under 4.4. Like, this guy is extremely quick. Sure. I promise you he would have he's going to be the 4th overall pick. There will not be a scenario where the Bears had the ability to trade up.
Do you think somebody told him, like, let's say it's the Cardinals for shits and giggles?
I don't know.
Do you think he got assurances like, hey, like, we're taking you?
Oh, like that. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean.
What did you think I meant?
I thought you meant, like, assurances from, like, someone to help, tell him to, like, not compete. Like, from the team.
No. So that's what I mean. Like, do you think that the Cardinals said, all right, we're taking you?
Oh, if you don't want to,
don't feel like you have to, because regardless, we're taking you at 4.
I mean, I don't know if those things happened that early in the process, which would have been in like February, March. I mean, we've been
talking about Marvin Harrison Jr. for how long, though? 2 years?
Yeah, I mean, he's regarded, in my opinion, as the best player in the class. I have him above
but you're not the only person to say that.
But I know. So I think you're right. And I think he knows that. Mm-hmm. And I think the only scenario, like, here's the only scenario where things get interesting. And this is where the whole J.J. McCarthy thing comes into the mix. And I am just one who I'm just not buying into it. But if Minnesota does get greedy and get up to 4 and take J.J. McCarthy, you know, do the Chargers want to go the Marvin Harrison route? Do you know, they have no receivers on that team, but Jim Harbaugh really strikes me as a build through the trenches guy. Take Joe Alt at 5 and we'll figure the rest out later. Or maybe they trade down. So that's really the only scenario where Marvin Harrison Jr. becomes available. But long story short, even if he does become quote unquote available, you can't trade up for him. I just don't know. I mean, you're going to have teams asking for a king's ransom for the best player in the draft at 5th overall. I mean, that's an absolute steal. There's no scenario. I would love it more than anyone, but I don't see a world where it's going to happen.
I think 99 times out of 100, the Bears trade down instead of trade up.
Yeah.
Let me hit you with this.
Hit me with it.
Because we know how much Matt Eberflus likes this position. The Bears kind of, sort of have addressed it, but not really with, you know, Gervon Dexter and Zach Pickens. If you trade down to 12, 13, and you have a shot at either Murphy from Texas or Newton from Illinois, are you taking one of those guys at D-tackle?
If Verse or Turner are gone and Latu? If all the edge rushers are gone, yes. Okay. But if one of Verse, Turner, or Latu are available, you have to take the edge rusher. It's just it's the much bigger
premium
need.
Position. Yeah.
And I don't really have in my evaluation, I have the 3 edge rushers graded higher than the defensive tackles too. So then you have best player available and bigger position in need.
Right.
But if you're talking about, like, you know, in the scenario trade down again? To 18 or something, trade down again, you get down to like 18 and you get Byron Murphy or Jazar Newton. I mean, yeah, that's in the realm of possibility. But if you're in that 13-15 range and you're going to have one of the edge rushers available, then I think you have to prioritize that, right?
I generally agree. There is a part of me that thinks that, and part of this is my bias because I spent, you know, 4 years watching Jimmy Newton at Illinois. Like, you know, I watch every Illinois game, so I've seen him. Like, his potential for being a game wrecker at the position, and knowing how much Matty Eberflus emphasizes that position, is just why that thought popped into my brain, because I think that, you know, maybe they have an edge rusher graded in the third round or even the second round, depending on what the picks they get back from trading down are. I'm just saying, I think that is something that could be a possibility, just because of, ever since Matty Eberflus was hired, we've heard, oh, the motor of the defense is is a great tackle, or the three tech, or whatever you want to call it. So that's the only reason that I bring that up. I agree with you. I lean for sure towards edge rusher, because you're right, premium position, bigger need, but maybe the Bears and how they're grading things, they're like, all right, we have Montez Sweat, we could take a swing on an edge rusher in the second, third, fourth round, and we think that the disparity, let's say, between Byron Murphy and Jimmy Newton are vastly greater than that of the top edge rushers and guys we could get in the middle rounds. That's all. So that's just, I mean, that was just a thought that I had, but I agree with you generally, though.
Yeah, I just, given the roster construction, I think you had to prioritize edge there. So that,
I said Jimmy Newton.
Yeah, I know. I was just gonna say Jerzon Newton
goes by Johnny.
I think I called him Jerzar too. Sorry, we're all over the place here with this name. So let's we don't have a ton of time here. So let's I'm gonna just tell you what I think they're gonna do at nine. Like, I'm just locking the prediction.
Why don't
here.
You just tell me what
I'm
you're
just,
gonna do?
Just gonna tell you. I mean, why even, this is what's gonna happen?
Did that reference go over your head just now?
You never watched Seinfeld. I might have. No. Okay, I just did not pick that one up.
Never mind. Forget it.
I'm not a big Netflix. Sci-fi guy. It is on Netflix, but like, there's like, what, 47 seasons? I can't sit down and watch all, you know what I mean? I just can't, I don't have time for that. That's what people are like, yeah, watch The Office. Okay, I'll watch all 18
seasons. You never watched The Office either?
I mean, I've watched like bits and pieces, but I'm not going to watch like 18 seasons of a TV show. Like, I have a life, you know, I can't just like sit down and watch, like, maybe COVID, but that's about it. So, famously, remember this, you know, I
don't take my bit.
I really shouldn't, because you overuse it anyway. But I predicted the trade up for Fields a couple of years ago. I did. So there's a little bit of a reputation here for
we
me.
Actually are. We have had good draft history on this show.
I think we have.
Because, like,
who did you nail a couple
Brisker.
Years ago? Brisker. Yeah. Which is, like, that's a crazy pick. Like,
that was the year they didn't have a first round pick.
Yeah, nailing Jaquan Brisker is actually kind of wild.
Didn't we predict Jalen Johnson too, or no?
Maybe.
I don't know. We have decent track history.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. Tell me what you think they're going
to
do at nine.
I already kind of revealed that. I think they trade down to 13 with the Raiders. I think they're, okay. I mean, who's the Raiders quarterback right now? Is Minshew
O'Connell.
There? Didn't Minshew get traded there or something? Yeah. Like, come on. Who's the Raiders quarterback? They're taking somebody. And look, I'm a big believer in Michael Penix Jr. I mean, this guy is still explosive after two massive knee injuries. I watched him play in
person
at college.
Rumors that Antonio Pierce loves him.
Yeah. And I think he's their guy. But guess what? Denver also needs a quarterback. Got those new unis too. They're going to have to fill some seats there in Denver as well. So they're going to have to outbid the Denver Broncos to get up to nine with the Bears and take their guy, Michael Penix Jr. So I think in that haul, the Bears get number 13 overall, obviously. Number 44 overall, the second round pick from the Raiders. Number 112, a fourth rounder for them this year. And then a 2025 second rounder. I don't know if that's too much. But again, I'm seeing this as a bidding war. Ryan Poles got two phones, one with Denver and one with Vegas. And he's just like, better up that sheet. Because Denver wants this, and you know, the Raiders might get greedy. I mean, that like, again, you want to go get your guy, go get your guy. This is that's just, if they were trading up for a position player, I wouldn't see the same thing. But when it's a quarterback, you know, if you're the team trading down, you have the leverage. So trade out and then take Jared Verse. I think Jared Verse is available for you there at 13. He's a player I really, really like. There's been rumblings about the Bears being interested in Verse. You're talking about a really explosive edge rusher who's I think might be the most complete. Second most complete edge rusher in the draft. I think Latu might be a higher grade for me than Verse, but this is still a really, really good athlete, a complete player, a guy with burst off the edge, and you know, a perfect complement, in my opinion, to Montez Sweat. So if you can trade down and get Jared Verse at 13, I mean, this was a guy who, before the process really started, before Dallas Turner ran a 4.4 40, I mean, Verse was I thought pretty widely regarded as the top edge rusher in the draft. I mean, the middle of the college football season last year, I mean, he was tearing it up, and people were saying this guy could be a top five pick. He, you know, this could be what's going on with Jared Verse. So to get him at 13, that's a steal, and to accumulate a 44 second rounder, a fourth rounder, and a 2025 second rounder, I mean, that's what I think they're going to do. So I'm locking it in. What do you got?
So I think, like I said, I think if it depends on who's there. If you know, like Rome Odunze is there. If one of the other receivers, whether that's Malik Nabers, somebody else, Marvin Harrison Jr. is there, I think they stay and I think they take one of the receivers.
Okay.
But if things get weird, if it's only the three quarterbacks at the top and then the three receivers and then Joe Walt and Brock Bowers still, I think that the Bears probably trade down. Don't hate the scenario that you laid out where you get a bunch of picks from Vegas because they're desperate. Lock it in, baby. I'm trying to figure out. I'm going to go chalk. I'm going to say they stick at nine still. And I'm going to say that they take Rome Odunze still.
Okay.
Just because I really like the idea of having the heir apparent locked in. I like the idea of having the next guy, you know, because I like the idea of pairing Caleb Williams with a premium young receiver for when Keenan Allen is done. If you can't come to an extension with DJ Moore, if, you know, or if you want to keep DJ Moore and then let's say Rome Odunze and Caleb Williams together and run that for a couple of years, that'd be pretty fun, I think. So I like this idea of stick it. And again, this hinges on that one of those guys is there and available. But I'm going to stick with that. I think that they stay chalk, but I just really like that idea of having pairing two rookies on the offensive side together that they can grow and learn together. And everybody's going to make the comparison with, you know, Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow, even though Caleb Williams and Rome Odunze didn't go to the same school, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, but like, it's still like, it's like, that's a good blueprint to have. Like,
yeah, it is.
Maybe Caleb Williams is that guy and can make anybody better like Patrick Mahomes. But I still just like the idea of having that next number one in place, locked in lockstep with your also rookie quarterback. That makes a lot of sense to me. Mm-hmm. And then later, I think you're taking a center. I think.
Who do you got?
I think
you got a name.
So I got a guy. I don't have a name. I haven't gotten as far as names yet, but I think that it makes sense to go get that guy because especially the injuries and stuff that you've had, it just makes too much sense.
I got a name for you.
Okay.
Before I give you that name, the Bears are trading back into the first round.
Okay.
No, I actually do believe this is going to happen.
Okay.
So I think if they trade down, they have enough ammo to move back into the first round. And because I have them taking an edge rusher, well, guess what? You got to get the receiver. I agree with you. Whether it is at nine or somewhere else, you got to get that receiver. You got to build this up. I think they get back in. I'm targeting the Bills at 28. And I have them getting back in to get either Adonai Mitchell or Xavier Worthy to the Texas boys. Look, this is like my draft crush is both of these guys. If you can walk away with from the draft with either of these guys, like you have one in my opinion. Xavier Worthy, fastest 40-yard dash in NFL history. And there's a lot of people who are just writing him off because they're doing the comp to John Ross. Ran fast, right. Overdrafted, not good.
Can't catch.
Don't do it again. This is not just a speed guy. This is a complete wide receiver. Extremely elite ball tracking skills if you watch his tape. That's something people are trying to compare him to Velus Jones Jr. That's something Velus Jones Jr. seriously lacks is ball tracking ability. This is a complete wide receiver, a 1,000-yard receiver at a school in the SEC in Texas or Big 12. Did they reclassify to the SEC? I think they were in the SEC this year. I don't remember what it is. They were in the SEC this year.
No, next year.
The next year
they're
it is?
Still
okay, they're still in the Big 12 this year. They played Alabama this past year. That's why I thought about that. And then this is also a guy who is a dynamite returner, and we don't know. I got to be honest. We don't know what these returns will look like with NFL athletes. We know what the returns look like with the new return rule. We know what it looks like in the XFL. You don't know. If you got a guy like Xavier Worthy who gives you some Devin Hester vibes, but a better receiver, I mean, there could be serious kickoff return value from this guy too. But his comp, it's literally Tyreek Hill. I don't want to comp anyone to Tyreek Hill. But when you talk about a guy who, you know, isn't like the craftiest route runner, but just gets open via speed, can do anything after the catch and can be versatile in your offense, like Shane Waldron would have a field day with Xavier Worthy. And then Adonai Mitchell's, you know, similar, you know, RAS score of 9.99 up in the top 1% all time. Just, you know, long and lanky, really streamlined athleticism, can go up and get it. 4.34 speed, just efficient footwork. This is a guy I really like. So I think if they trade down, I'll put this together. If they trade down, they go back in the first round. I think they do. Or they trade up at some point, up early in the second round to get a receiver that falls. Xavier Leggett, right? Somebody like that. I think they will get their guy regardless, even if they trade down. So, boom. All right.
I will say that I feel like Who's the kid from South Carolina, the wide receiver
Leggett.
That has been like comped to DK Metcalf already?
Yeah.
And so people are making the connection with Shane Waldron and stuff. So I think that if the Bears like, we love this guy, then they probably are leaning, you know, edge defender or edge rusher in that number nine slot, which would make a lot of sense too still. All right, who's the center you got?
Yeah, so the center I have is Cedric Van Pran Granger. What a name. From Georgia. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a guy who, you know, played 15 games 2021, 2022 for the back-to-back national champions, two of the best college football teams we've ever seen. Second team AP All-American last year, won the SEC Jacobs Blocking Trophy as the conference's top offensive lineman and first team All-SEC. I don't know if he's going to be available at 75, but really what you were saying is like, dude, this has flown under the radar. The Bears don't have an answer at center. Mm-hmm. They just don't. I mean, Ryan Bates is not sufficient. And if I got to imagine, you know, seeing what Ryan Poles did last year, prioritizing Donald Wright, seeing what he did in free agency last year, getting Nate Davis and really building up the O-line. And I really can't believe and imagine that with his O-line prowess, I'll call it, that he is just going to be content sitting there, not at least some getting somebody behind Bates to compete for that spot. I mean, it just cannot be the solution if you're drafting Caleb Williams, which they will. So Cedric Van Pran Granger, this is a guy who,
well, also,
you know,
Bates has versatility. He can move around too. So even if he loses, let's say, the center battle in camp with a second or third rounder, or if they trade, whatever, like, you could still keep him around for good depth, which you need.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, what do we know about the Bears? Offensive linemen are going to get injured. You got guys on the offensive line who are injury prone. Tevin Jenkins and Nate Davis, like, you need it. I feel like I just crossed my mind. I sound like Chris Collinsworth. I feel like I've said, and this guy, I've said that way too many times here. What's that?
Here's a guy.
Yeah, here's a guy. So, but here's a guy, Cedric Van Pran Granger. I mean, this is my guy to go to at center. So keep the name in mind. They're going to draft him. I promise you. So this is a guy I like. So yeah, I mean, I just at some point they're going to go center. It has to be done. I know people have talked about, you know, if you're thinking about a trade up into the first round, maybe if you get lucky, Jackson Powers Johnson is available late in the first round. I could see them doing a trade up for him instead of a receiver and then sitting back at in the second or third round and taking one of those guys you mentioned. So I'm with you. Do you have a specific pick at 75, or you just got him going?
No, I still think I think again, if you're not going to address defensive tackle, I think that's somewhere you get. But also, I know you signed Kevin Byrd. You still need another safety. Again, having that next guy, having that next person, and he's on a 2-year deal. And Brisker, too, has missed time. So I kind of think you need to have that next safety in the building, too.
That's a good one.
So I think that's something that could go off the radar. Again, depends on how boards shake out and guys are drafted. But I think at 75, you're probably assuming that you go offense. Then I think you're going, you know, nose tackle, defensive tackle, or something in the secondary to get some more depth.
Certainly not cornerback. But
no, safety specifically.
I'm with you. That, you know, I didn't have that in my mock. I had them taking Gabe McCormick, offensive guard, at 112, which is the pick that got via the Raiders, and at 122, the pick we got from Philadelphia last year. I had him taking Jordan Jefferson, nose tack from LSU. But you know, maybe they trade down. Yeah, you know, safety is a position where you can grab a guy in the 4, 5, 6 and have him be really effective. Maybe they do a trade down with one of those fourth rounders and pick up a safety in that range. They've done that in the past, and I think who would they do that with? Ryan Poles' first draft, the Toledo kid. God, don't remember his name. I don't even think he's on the roster anymore. Crap, I should remember this, but I could see them doing that for sure. And you're right. I mean, that, like, Kevin Byard ain't young. Jaquan Brisker's injury prone. There's a chance both those guys could be out at the same time at some point during the year, and if that's the case, you are not in a great position.
Positions that I think they're probably definitely not going to address in this draft. Corner, you brought up, you're way solid there. I feel like you're probably good at linebacker. I feel like they feel good about what you got there. Tight end is definitely low priority. I'm not saying that they're not going to bring in a body there, but low priority given, you know, Komet. And I feel like Mercedes Lewis is probably going to come back as a blocker, obviously, since he doesn't do much else. What do you feel like about running back?
I thought about this too. I think your best option at running back is just an undrafted pickup right? I mean, you're not drafting anybody. I mean, you spent the money on DeAndre Swift. A lot of people thought you already overpaid on DeAndre Swift. You can't use up draft capital on a running back. And it's funny because before they had taken DeAndre Swift, I was like all in on them actually taking a running back like in the third round. Mm-hmm. I was like, you can maybe get a dynamite guy here in the third round. But at this point, knowing what they've done in free agency, there's no way, right? I mean, probably not.
But unless they, I mean, it's always good to have bodies.
It's good to have bodies, but you know, Roschon Johnson still exists. Mm-hmm. Khalil Herbert, whether you like it or not, still exists. They got a good three-headed monster there in the backfield.
Sure.
Just get an undrafted guy who will probably end up being like a 1,000-yard rusher at some point. Like, this is just what happens with running backs. Yeah. Like, every year there's an undrafted guy who's a 1,000-yard rusher.
Sure.
Pick him up, you're fine. Trayvon Henderson, Ohio State. Actually, yeah, he returned to school, so you can't draft him.
Impossible.
forgot about that.
Anyway, all right. Anything else that you want to throw out there in the last minute or so here?
No. I mean, honestly, look, I don't have much else. I think we hit the nail on the head with the options and with the possibilities at nine. And
I think things could get really weird.
Things could get really weird.
I think there's a lot of variance.
Actually,
here.
You know what? I disagree. I'm actually going to disagree. It's funny as I literally said, yo, things can get really weird. I actually think this draft ends up being total chalk.
Okay.
Caleb Williams 1, Daniels 2, May 3, Harrison 4, Alt 5. And then maybe it gets weird with some of the trades, mm-hmm. 6 and 13. We talk about McCarthy and Penix. But like at the top of the draft, it's
Giants just take McCarthy at 6?
I think the Giants might take Neighbors.
Okay.
They have way too much money allocated. Like,
okay, so Neighbors 6.
Neighbors 6, Odunze 7, Turner 8. Trade down with the Bears at 9.
That's not chalk.
Sure it is. That's like total chalk. That's like the definition of chalk.
I don't know about that. Okay.
Let's get out of here. You got to go do a national
point
betting
being,
show.
That I think it could get weird. This McCarthy stuff is just insane.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I mean, it could lend the Bears to opportunity. So we'll see. But we will do a post-draft show. We'll break down all the picks, however many there are. And after that, it'll be off-season content, schedule breakdowns, stuff like that. So stick around. We'll be back next week to break down the draft and everybody that's selected in the new batch of rookies. But until then, I'm Jake Hassan for Kevin Lapka. This has been Bears Nation Podcast. And as always, bear down.
Bear down.